Okay, turn to Gospel of Mark tonight. Here we have the Great Commission in the Gospel of Mark, very simple, and simply stated, go, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I didn't get to read the articles yet, but the latest edition of Frontline magazine, all the articles in there are about dispensationalism. And there's a great concern among fundamentalists of young people turning to covenant theology. In fact, it was 20 years ago, I remember I gave a lady who was attending our church, I gave her a copy of Dispensationalism Today by Charles Ryrie. And she was attending Elmbrook Church, and she showed that book to her pastor, and her pastor at Elmbrook Church said, nobody believes that anymore. Speaking of dispensationalism. Well, what the problems that obviously New Evangelicalism lost, the battle over dispensationalism, quite a few years ago, and now it's a pretty strong and heavy in fundamentalism. Many intellectuals, and that's the real problem, is intellectualism. Many are going to dispensationalism. I haven't read any of the articles, but the real issue of dispensationalism is that every dispensation in the Bible has ended in failure. And there's a lesson for us to learn. And of course, I haven't read the articles, but what is the failure of this dispensation? What is the failure of this dispensation? Well, the failure is twofold. The failure is that in this dispensation of grace, the Lord Jesus has come, He has died, He's risen. The fullness of salvation has been paid for, and the world has rejected Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, there is a specific, repeated command in the Bible that is the requirement for all those under this dispensation. And what is that requirement? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we know at the end of this dispensation that the Jews will be handed over once again the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the natural branch, according to Romans, will be drafted back into the vine. And we, the Gentiles, who in this period of time have been allowed to be the servants of God and be His vessels, will be cut off. Because of why? Because we have failed to get the gospel to every creature. And as far as I know, there's only been one generation of Christians that has fulfilled the Great Commission in their day. And that was the first generation of Christians. And ever since then, there has not been one generation that has reached the world for Jesus Christ. In fact, obviously, there have been times of almost total disobedience to God because the Catholic Church was killing all the Christians that they could, and Christians couldn't get the gospel to the ends of the world because they were doing everything they could just to stay alive. And there was a period of great world evangelization, and but today we are in the time of decline. But we need to be reminded, as I began, we need to be reminded that the lesson, as we think of the great principle of dispensationalism, the great lesson to be learned is that in every dispensation, man has failed. And the lesson is, let's not be a part of the crowd. Let's not be a part of the failure. Let's do what God said we are supposed to do. And so let's think about that a little bit tonight. As we think of the mandate of the gospel, we find that there is specifically a command to get the gospel to every creature. Now you say, how do we know that that's really for today? Well, the Great Commission is repeated, obviously, in every gospel and book of Acts. And in Matthew 28, we have the Great Commission. And that Great Commission, it says, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. What does that tell us? That tells us that the commission goes to the end of this age. The responsibility goes to the end of this age. Now, let's just stop here a minute. Okay? Anyone who is here, any person who is genuinely saved, this command is God's command to you and I. There's no one that can escape it. This is God's command. This is directly bearing on us. We have this command from the Lord. If we're saved, this is our mandate. Okay? Now, let me ask the second question. Okay. Do you feel that responsibility? Do you personally feel that responsibility? Do you personally feel that obligation? Do you personally feel that that is God's command to you? Now, we live in a day of feeling-oriented Christianity, right? And feeling-oriented Christianity is this. It comes out lots of different ways. For a lot of young adults, it comes out, well, I don't have a conviction about that. Other people, it's like, well, I don't feel any compulsion to do that. I have no conviction about that. I have no guilt about that. I mean, why? Those are all words of feeling, aren't they? Okay, but that's not that isn't the Bible has nothing to do about feeling. It has to do with a mandate, a command. And if we don't obey a command of the Bible, we are in disobedience to the Lord. I guess that's really the basic bottom line, isn't it? If we don't sense that this is a command to us, Mr. Raines, tell Luke, you're working on a shed, you say, Luke, okay, now go to the truck and get the air compressor. And he ignores you. Just because he decided to ignore you, does that mean that he is free from getting the effects of not getting the air compressor? No. Oh, see, that's where all those freckles came from. All right. So, if we're all honest today, if we're really honest, we can all say to some degree or another that all of us somehow would like to think that that really isn't binding on us. We would like to think that somehow that doesn't apply to us. We won't answer to God for that. And yet, it is binding. It is a command to every believer. Now, just because we don't feel like it's binding doesn't mean it is. It isn't. I guess that's how I should say. But we live in a day of feeling. In fact, I think this is how it works. I feel like the normal path for a Christian today is to read the Bible and see that the Bible says, preach the gospel to every creature. And an obedient Christian will say, yes, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what my life is going to be about. And then God is able now, under those conditions, to say to a person, okay, your job is to go to New Guinea. Your job is to go to Africa. Your job is to be an electrical engineer. Your job is to be a butcher. But you're going to be a butcher, but your main purpose in life is to preach the gospel to every creature. You see, we have it backwards in America and in the West. We have it all backwards. We say that the only person that this command is for is the person who's called to full-time service. I don't find that in the Bible at all. It's not found in the Bible. In fact, the right order is that every Christian recognizes that they will stand before God with this command on their shoulder. Every person. And under that condition, when a person accepts that commission, that command, now God is able to say, okay, blah, blah, blah. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're all supposed to do. And you know what? There's no difference because we're all doing the same thing. We're all living our life to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And that's the New Testament Christian. And everywhere they went, they were preaching the Word of God. And it was talking about the lay people, wasn't it? Because the apostles were still in Jerusalem. Those that were scattered abroad weren't the apostles. They were the lay people. Now, as you think about this simple principle, what is the spirit of the New Testament that is behind that thinking? What is the thinking in New Testament that is behind that? Well, I think it's important that we think about that. Because that has a lot to say about a lot of things. Because, you know, every new generation needs to be reached. And I don't know what you want to say about a generation, okay? How long you want to say a generation is. But you know, in one sense of the word, a generation, in one sense of the word, you have a new one all the time. Maybe you would say it's 20 years to 60 years, you have a new generation. And you have a whole vast new population of the world that needs to be reached. Some countries of the world, the majority of their population is under 25 years of age. Cambodia, most of their people were killed. The vast number of their population is youth. Who's going to reach them? There's a whole generation. Every generation has to be reached anew and afresh. And you know, think about that. I think about the fact that after I got saved, and I had never heard the gospel one time before I was 18 years old. Had no idea what the gospel was. Had no idea how to be saved. And I was, I don't know how old I was at that time. I was talking to my dad, and about 24, 25 maybe years old, and he said, you know what? He says, when I was a young man, your grandpa, who immigrated from Wales, who was a part in Wales during the Welsh Revival, he took all of us kids to the Metropolitan Tabernacle in Waukesha. Because he wanted all of us to hear that preaching. It was gospel preaching. But you know what? I had no idea that that gospel preaching ever existed. I had no idea there was ever such a thing as the gift of salvation, being born again. The gospel had been completely lost in one generation. We have an obligation. Each generation has an obligation to reach the whole world. What I mean by that is each generation has the obligation to reach the world, and each succeeding generation has that obligation all over. But how does it work? How does it typically work? You know how typically wrongly it works? If you have a fervent adult that's fervent for God, the typical is that their children are just a little less fervent if they're really on top of the world. And so every person needs to have that sense and that experience with the Lord that we find in the New Testament. And I just thought about, we only have a couple minutes, and I'll say it really quickly. There's some things that every believer needs to have a grip their life. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, he says that I have been apprehended by Christ. Word apprehend, you know, you grab hold of somebody. When common vernacular said, he was saying, Jesus Christ has grabbed a hold of me. Each generation, every individual needs to be apprehended by Christ. In other words, there's nothing else that they can do but serve Jesus Christ. Nothing else that they could do but to serve the Lord. Now I wonder, is that what you think? Has really the Lord gotten hold of your life? Could you just live a normal life and be a normal Christian and sit in the pew and do nothing for God Could you do that? Paul was apprehended by Christ. The Apostle Paul, he said, I am a debtor to the Jew and to the Gentile. He had this tremendous sense that he had a debt to the whole world. I have something that the whole world needs. And I owe them. Ever the Holy Spirit tell you to talk to somebody and you let fear overcomes you and you say no and you walk away from there and you wonder? You feel this burden because you know that you don't know if that person ever will hear the gospel. We were up at Black River Falls, and I normally don't ask this to people, but we gave this fellow a tract, and I said to him, college-age young person, and he was working at the booth there, and so he talks to a lot of people. I said, have you ever received one of these ever before? He said, no. Never before. Thirdly, I think that that the people in the New Testament were people who were lovers of truth. We just studied 2 and 3 John in our survey of the Bible class on Sunday. And it's amazing to read through that those books and see how many times the word truth is used. And you know, there is a spirit, a dying spirit today where truth isn't really so important anymore. But in the New Testament, people died for the truth. They loved the truth. And of course, we see in the scriptures how the New Testament believer had the power of the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I mean, these are simple things. But you know, these are things that we should be, really should be on our mind all day long, every day. All day long, every day. And in any one of these areas where there is a loss of fervency about these things, is an indication that the next generation has lost the fervency necessary to take the gospel and reach their generation for Christ. You know, it's too bad when we start judging ourselves by a previous generation, because I think there's kind of been a decline for a long time. We need to get back to the New Testament and say, wow, that's the kind of Christian that I need to be. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we live in such a materialistic and oftentimes selfish day and self-centered day, days of pleasure. And Lord, as easy as you can, as pie, as they would say, just to be a complacent Christian and forget about the Great Commission, forget about the lost, forget about our purpose in life, forget about the needs of souls. And I pray that, Lord, that even tonight we would be confronted once again to really what the New Testament teaches ought to be the great focus of our lives as we serve Thee and live for Thee and try to bring glory to Your Son. And so, Lord, help us to, may Your Holy Spirit so get a hold of our lives that once again we would take the commandment to preach the gospel to every creature to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the world, that we would take that seriously. And we would recognize that is your will for our lives. And so may it be, Lord. May we admit our need and renew ourselves once again to serve you as we ought. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.